Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Today we're continuing our series entitled When Offense Knocks, and I hope this is a series that causes all of us to think. I hope it challenges our thinking. But what I do know is that this is a series that you cannot miss a week of the series. If you have to miss for some reason, please check out our podcast. You can find it at our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or by downloading our app. This is a series that every week builds on the week before, and it's just important that we gather the whole collection of the series. This is a series that you might have some pushback on, and you might say, I don't know, that goes different than my personality or different than what I think, and that's okay. I just want you to form your judgment at the end of the series, so wait until the end if you have some pushback. Speaking of this series, last week we looked at how being offended is an emotional way to punish someone else. Being offended is an emotional way to punish someone else. We get offended, and when we get offended, in our brains, it says this offense, this anger, is punishing the other person. What we looked at last week, though, is just being offended. In our minds, we think that's doing some good, but just being offended doesn't actually change anyone. All it does is it impacts us. It causes our blood pressure to rise. It causes us to lose sleep. It causes us to be angry and frustrated, but it does very little to actually changing the world. And that's why last week we had the question, and the question is, what good is my offense doing? What good is my offense doing? It's not a matter of what are you offended by, it's what good is your offense doing. If you are offended by something, what change is that making into the world? If your offense isn't making the world a better place to live, then what good is it doing? If it's not changing others and it's only impacting you negatively, then we've got to wrestle with what good is our offense doing. We looked at last week some words that Jesus said. He said in Luke 6, 27 through 28, he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. And the idea is that we are to love. If you're following Jesus, we are to love others. Now, this is where the pushback comes. Because the pushback is, yeah, I know we're to love people, but what about people who are truly offensive? Like, what about people who are doing injustices in the world? How do we change them? How do we fix them? If we're just all lovey-dovey, they're never going to change their opinions. They're never going to change their ways. And there are some real injustices in the world. There are some real offenses. I'm not talking about mild offenses when you're just annoyed. I'm talking about there are some real issues in our world and in our country today. And if we just love, aren't those offenses just going to keep going on? Aren't they going to just carry on? And that's what I want to look at today, because I think and I believe that we can change the world without being offended. I want to give you our big idea right up front. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down. And I just want to say that this is a series, especially today, that you need to take notes. We're going to cover a ton of information, so feel free if you want to take pictures of the screen or you want to write something down. There's no way you're going to remember all of this, so I encourage you to write some stuff down. The big idea for today is we will never make a difference unless we are different. We will never make a difference unless we are different. Our scripture that's going to guide us today is written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote over half of the New Testament, and Paul had a partner in crime. He had a guy that helped him spread the word of Christianity. His name was Titus, and they went on an adventure together. They were headed to Rome, and while they were headed to Rome, they stopped off at a little island called Crete. And this little island, we don't have a ton of information about it. We just know that Paul couldn't stay there very long. He was on a journey somewhere else, and so he had just a quick visit in Crete, and he decided to leave Titus there. And the mission of Titus was to raise up some pastors to help teach the Christians and the people that were in Crete how to follow Jesus. Well, Paul goes on and leaves him and then ends up writing him a letter to encourage him and to teach him how to change the culture. Now, this is where context is incredibly important. When you read scripture, it's important to ask some questions. Why did they write this? When was it written? Well, who was it written to? If you don't have context, you can make scripture say anything you want it to say. There's a verse that supports every idea out there. And so we've got to be careful to say, okay, well, what was the original intent? What was the meaning? Why did he write it? And Paul wrote it because the people in Crete were not the best of people. In fact, it is said by one of their own prophets, one of the own people from this little island, it was said that Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. That's not a great description of people. In fact, we have an image. It's one of the earliest images of what the Cretans look like. I have a picture of it. I want to show you on the screen. That's. Anyone remember Bluto from Popeye? Yeah, he's not actually a Cretan, but that's what I think of when I see this description that Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. That's like an evil bad guy from a cartoon. Like, that's not a good description. That's not like sometimes they are these things. This is an island filled with evil people. Now, how do you impact an island full of evil people? Is your only option to eat me spinach? Is that the only option you have? Popeye went over the head of like 90% of you. Is that our only option, though? Like, what? Literally, think about this. If you are on an island where everyone is considered to be evil and to be a brute and to be a liar and to be a lazy glutton, there's going to be a lot of offense on that island. And how do you change them? How do you stand up and say, hey, we think there's a better way to live? Are you supposed to just yell and scream at them? Are you supposed to call out all their offenses? What are you supposed to do? And Paul tells Titus what he wants him and the rest of the Christians on Crete to do. In order for them to impact this island, this is how he's calling them, encouraging them to live their life. And at Next Level, we stand to honor the text. And so I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read it with me nice and loud. This is our theme text for today, Titus 3:14. When we get to the reference, Titus 3:14, we're going to have a little bit of fun and say Titus 3, and then we're going to go .14. This part is crucial. If you want to hear from God today, you got to get your arms into it and pump it a little bit. I'm telling you, God will speak to you through the .. Let's read it together. It says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Titus 3:14. Awesome job. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you right now, and we need you to speak to us. We ask that you would speak in a personal way. Would you help us to get out of our own ways? Would you help us to get out of our own brains and our own thoughts? Would you help us to get past ourselves? Would you just speak to us, God? We humbly invite you to speak to our hearts. And I know, God, whenever you speak, it's scary. So would you give us the courage to obey you, no matter how afraid we are? And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So when it comes to being offended, we ask the question, what good is my offense doing? Like, if I don't yell, if I don't scream, if I don't blast them on Facebook, if I don't call out their wrong behavior, if I don't get upset and riled up, what good is my offense doing? And we think that if we don't yell and scream, if we don't chew someone out, if we don't rant on them, if we don't give them an ugly review online, if we don't call out what's wrong, then the wrongdoer is just going to keep living, and they're never going to change. They're never going to change their ways. But what we're learning is that in science and psychology, that actually ranting and raving doesn't change the world. In fact, what I want to read to you next is something that I want you to chew on, because I think it's really challenging. Based off research, it turns out that the people who are often the most indignant voices in protests of injustice are the least likely to part with their own resources to do anything about it. What we're finding is the people that are the loudest about all the offenses in our world are the same people who aren't willing to lift a finger to actually change the world. And this is challenging. I guess you can clap to that. I will say we have a rule at Next Level that when one person claps, we just all clap. I don't know why we would clap for that, but I applaud it. Let's just clap. You can clap together. This is the issue, though, that often the people who are the loudest about the injustices in the world are the very people who aren't willing to actually lift a finger to change the world. Now, why is that? It's because when we are offended, we convince ourselves that just being offended is enough. Being offended by something is exhausting. When we're upset about something, it wears on us. We don't have any energy to do anything else because we're offended. So in our brains say, I'm mad at that, I'm angry at that, I told someone that was wrong, now I can relax. But being offended doesn't change the world, it doesn't change anyone, and it actually causes us to not make a difference. It's led to a new term in our culture, and the new term is slacktivism. Slacktivism. Slacktivism is taking a stand that costs you absolutely nothing. Slacktivism is saying there's an issue in our world. Let me just post something on Facebook and then I can move on with my day. Posting something on Facebook does not change the world. Slacktivism is saying, let me just share this link and hopefully that'll just change everyone's bad opinions. Slacktivism is talking about the problems in the world, but not actually doing anything about it. And the problem with being offended is it causes us to feel like we're actually changing the world. Well, I complained to everyone that I saw. I told everyone what the issue is. Therefore, I feel better. But it's slacktivism. It's not actually making a difference. And so we need to ask the question, if my offense isn't making a difference, then what good is it? Now, I don't think that Scripture teaches us that we are supposed to be passive, that we're supposed to just turn a blind eye and say, oh, that's offensive, I'm just going to go to sleep and ignore it. I don't think that's what Scripture teaches at all. I think Scripture teaches us a better way. We need to ask ourselves, if our offense is not productive, if it's not changing the world, then what actually might change the world? What good is my offense doing? What if the devil's plan is to keep us all so distracted that we feel exhausted from accomplishing very little? How would he do that? He would get us so focused on being offended that we exert lots of energy complaining, and in return, we would be too tired to make a difference. Offense is everywhere. We get to choose if we want to open the door when it knocks. I'm not the devil. I don't know exactly how he works, but I think that's a pretty good strategy. If you want to keep the world as it is, just distract all the people that want to change it. And how would he distract us? Well, let's just get offended, because offense causes us to get riled up. It causes us to feel like we've made a difference, but in all actuality, we haven't changed the world. And so when we come to Scripture, Paul offers a different way to approach the world. Look at what Paul says in Titus 3, 1 through 2. He says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. Now, I want to stop there for a second, because this is where we could push back. Because the question is, well, what Paul says to be obedient to authorities, but what if those authorities are evil? What if those authorities are wrong? Shouldn't we call them out? Shouldn't we rebel against the authorities? Did you know that in the earliest church, Christians rebelled against the authority? You know how they rebelled against them? By showing love. There was a massive plague that broke out in Rome. And all of the doctors and everyone that could do anything about this plague left. And they just left everyone in Rome just to die. You know the only people that stayed back in Rome to help the sick? Christians. Because they said, this is what will change the world. Not complaining about the darkness, but going into the darkness and making a difference. But see, we have to get to the heart of offense. Why are we offended? Because when we get offended, it blinds us from actually seeing, is our offense doing any good? And it causes us to focus in on what we are offended by. To be offensive to someone, it simply means that you're causing someone to feel hurt or anger. When you are offended, that's all it is. It's an emotion inside of you that says, I'm hurt or I'm angered by this. This is wrong. And when you're hurt or you're angered by something, it causes your brain to go to a place that's not healthy. You don't think about logically, what can I do with this hurt or offense? How can I fix this? All you think about is, I need to get them back. They hurt me, so I need to hurt them. They did something wrong. That's not fair. So let me bring some pain to them. Let me hurt them back. To be offensive, it simply means that you're causing someone to feel hurt or anger. Here's the thing that I want us to wrestle with. People have one of two reactions when they get offended. They deal with it before the Lord, or they destroy others. When you get offended, you're going to have a reaction. You can't not have a reaction. But what you do with that offense tells a lot about your faith in Jesus. You can tell what someone really believes when their emotions are high. It's not that when your emotions are low and everything's calm that you can tell what you believe. You can tell what you really believe when someone has wronged you. And it doesn't matter how great of a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how great your church attendance is. It doesn't matter if you're a great worship singer or you're a small group leader or you're very involved. None of that matters, because when you get offended, what comes out is what's really going on inside of your heart. And when we get offended, do we represent Jesus, or do we just call everyone out? Offense is so easy to feel. And I think the reason that we're not making a difference is because when we get offended, we can't think about how to be kind to the person that offended us. All we can think about is that they need to pay for what they've done to us. I love the quote by Rick Warren. He's a pastor in Southern California. He says, our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. And we need to wrap our minds around this. Because when we get offended, the last thing we can think of is being kind to someone. Because we think, if I'm kind to them, that's approving of their offensive behavior. That's just not true. You can be kind to someone and they can still be wrong. Saying I love someone does not mean that I accept everything they believe or everything that they do. We can disagree and still be friends. Showing kindness to someone does not say I approve of everything in their lifestyle. I approve of all their views. Being kind to someone shouldn't stop with the differences that we have. For Christians, we don't get to pick and choose. We don't say I'm only kind to the people that I agree with, that I vote with, that look like me. That's not Christianity. Christianity is offering something better than our culture. Look at what Paul says. He says to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. Talking about someone when they can't defend themselves, talking about someone negatively, spreading negativity about someone, that's slander. Slander no one. To be peaceable and considerate and to always be gentle towards everyone. Why? Because this has a chance to change the world. What doesn't change the world is being offensive when we're offended. We think it does, but when you call someone out, when you yell at someone, when you raise your voice, when you say this person is evil, this person's wrong, you ever notice how the only people that agree with you are the people that already agreed with you before you said that statement? Like in the history of your life, have you ever called someone out and someone said, oh, you know what, you were a jerk to me. That changed my opinion. Thank you so much. I was wrong. I apologize. No. When we yell and scream, all it does is divide us as people. It just divides us, and people just pick their own camps, and it's not changing anyone's view. And Paul says, instead of that, offer something better. Because being offended doesn't change anyone, but being good does. But you have to decide what you want to do with your offense. Because you can't just do nothing when you're offended. You have to do something. Offense without action is constipation. That's an original quote. When you get offended, you got to take some action. You can't. Think about it. When you get offended, you do something. You either stay up all night thinking about it, you rant and complain to someone, you yell, you scream, you call someone out. You have to do something when you're offended. So just saying, I'm going to do nothing, that doesn't solve our own problem. What does is saying, well, what good is my offense going to do? If me yelling and ranting doesn't make a difference, then I'm going to choose to bring what is good to the situation. And maybe when I bring something good, I can change someone else's opinion. We will never make a difference unless we are different. We'll never make a difference. And I know this is not easy because there's so much division in our country and there's so many things that are just offensive. And the natural reaction when you see something offensive is to react and just say, that's wrong, that's horrible, let me call them out. And I know there's a lot of issues, but I just want to say something that I hope you'll take and hear my heart on this. I'm not trying to call anyone out. I'm not trying to step on your toes. I just want all of us to wrestle and to think about this thought. Do you spend more time complaining or praying for our country? Because here's what offense does. Offense feels better when we complain, but complaints aren't changing anyone. What if, when we get offended, instead of just complaining, we brought something positive to it? What if instead of complaining, we brought it to God and said, God, that's wrong. What do you want me to do about it? Do you want me to speak out? Do you want me to be silent? Do you want me to bring something better to the table? God, what do you want me to do with this offense? Being a Christian does not mean that you're passive. It doesn't mean that you ignore offenses. It doesn't mean that you turn a blind eye when people truly are wrong. But if you want to change people, you got to bring something different to the table. I love what Mike Iaconelli says. He says, Christians do not condone unbiblical living. We redeem it. Christians don't approve of unbiblical living. Christians don't say that everything you want to do is fine and every lifestyle choice and everything that you choose, that's good. Christians aren't just passive about, hey, no, do whatever feels good. That's not the Christian way. There is a way that we believe is the best way to live. It's the way of Jesus. But the way we communicate that with people is not through yelling. It's not through being offensive. It's by redeeming a broken culture. And how do you redeem a broken culture? You bring the opposite of what the culture brings to us. If the culture brings offense, we bring goodness. Look at what Paul says next. He paints this picture of who we were before Jesus. In Titus 3:3, he says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. So Paul paints this picture of what it's like before you have Jesus. And there may be some here today that you would say, yeah, I'm not a Christian yet, and I don't really know what I believe, and that's fine. I think Next Level is a safe place for you to come and to check out the things of Jesus. But if you're here today and you are a Christian, Paul's painting a picture of what life should be. Before Jesus, we hated everyone, and we went around hating everyone, and we were envious, and we spread malice, and we talked bad about people. That's before Jesus. But now you have Jesus, something has to change. So I just want you just to examine. I know it's hard to examine our own hearts and lives, but I want you to examine. If you have malice, if you have hate, if you have contempt in your life, you need to understand that that's not of Christ. But let's just be real. We're human, right? There's going to be times when I lose my temper. And there's going to be times when I get this wrong. As a Christian, I need to identify that that was wrong. As a Christian, I may lose my temper, but that should be a short vacation. It should not be a permanent residence. I shouldn't be living in anger. I shouldn't be living with offense all around me. I should have joy. I should have the peace of God. And so anytime that I don't have that, I need to repent. You need to repent. That is simply going to God and say, God, I blew it. I'm sorry. Thank you for loving me. Help me to do different next time. Starting to change the world starts with looking inward and changing ourselves. And we need to be understanding that sometimes we have opinions, and those opinions are coming from a wrong place. That we have some hate inside of our heart. We have some issues that we need to deal with. And Paul says that that is not of the new lifestyle. That's not of Jesus. He then paints a picture of what it is to be like Jesus. In Titus 3, 4 through 7, look at what he says. He says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. I want to stop there for a second. It is the kindness that leads people to repentance. It is the kindness of Jesus. I don't know what led you to follow Jesus, but I want to tell you, it was not Jesus' yelling and screaming and being offended at your life. What leads us to Jesus is the kindness of a Savior. The kindness that when he's hanging on a cross, he looks at the very people who are hanging him on the cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the Savior that we serve. It is the kindness of God that when we were at our worst and at our most offensive, Jesus stuck out his hand and said, come be in my fellowship. Jesus is not offended by our lifestyles, by our choices. He is kind to us in order to reach us. He then says, let's keep reading. He says, because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Paul is painting a picture that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you and starts to clean house, starts to work on the issues, starts to work on the hate that you have inside, starts to work on your own stuff. It starts to work on the junk that's in your heart. Why? Because if you want to change the world, it starts with changing yourself first. We can't change other people. But when we receive the kindness of God and allow God to change us, our kindness then might change someone else. It's like the great theologian Lauryn Hill once saying, how are you going to win when you ain't right within? How are you going to win when you ain't right within? How are you going to change the world when you haven't allowed God to change your heart? How am I going to change the world when I've got hate and when I've got anger, when I've got frustration in my heart? Allow God to change you. Allow the kindness of God to change you. When you get offended, you have to do something with your offense, so bring your offense to Jesus. Bring it to him. God, this is an issue in our world. What do you want me to do with it? If you don't do something positive with your offense, you will be consumed with your offense. And the consumption of your offense will make you feel like you're making a difference, but it doesn't change anyone. It just hurts. It just hurts you. There's a great African proverb. It says, if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm. If there's no enemy, if I'm not battling with myself, if I don't have issues from within, then I don't have to get so offended about what everyone else does. I can have peace even when others are offended. Paul goes on to write to Titus in Titus 3, 4 through 8. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God. So understand, this is not talking to those who don't have a relationship with God, who don't believe in Jesus. He's saying, for those who would say, I am a Christian, May us be very careful to devote ourselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. So instead of being frustrated, instead of being offended, devote yourself to doing good. Why? Because then it'll be profitable. What's not profitable? Being offended. If our offense isn't changing the world, then we're exhausted doing nothing. What's profitable? Being strategic and saying, I'm going to do everything I can to change the world. At Next Level, we every month partner with a local or global organization to try to make a difference. And it's a strategic way for us to say, there are some offenses in the world, there are some wrongs, but we want to be known more for what we're for than what we're against. There are some issues, and we don't want to just talk about issues. We want to actually get out in the community and make a difference. And can I just paint this picture for you? The reason make a difference is so important is because our area and our world may not agree with our views on Jesus, but they cannot deny the way that we love the 757. And someday someone might criticize us. And someday someone might try to crucify our beliefs. And someday someone might say, well, that church, they're just so narrow-minded and they're just wrong. And someone may criticize, and it might be public, it might be online, but at that moment, they will not be able to deny the fact that we do everything we can to make the world a better place. Demanding other people change without being willing to change is entitlement. Demanding that the world changes but not being willing to let God change you, it's entitlement. It's walking in and saying, I don't like this. You need to change everything about you. I'm not going to change. I'm not willing to work on myself. I'm just going to demand that the world changes. That's wrong, and that's what the world offers. And as Christians, we got to be better. If you're truly offended, then you have two options. You can be angry or you can bring it to God. And when you bring it to God, He'll lead you to do something positive with your offense. I'm convinced that every great invention in the world started off as an offense. Every great invention started off because someone was frustrated, they were bothered with the world, and they said, I don't like the way the world is. I'm going to actually do something productive and change the world. I don't know for sure if he was offended, but I'm pretty sure that every invention comes from an offense. And so I would argue to say that Willis Carrier at one point was offended. Willis Carrier invented air conditioning. And I think Willis Carrier at one point in his life was offended at how hot it was. And you know what everyone else does? Everyone complains about the heat. Everyone else says, oh, it's just so hot, it's just so miserable. Everyone gets on Facebook and complains, oh, I hate the South, it's just so hot. Willis Carrier said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to create AC. How come we don't have a national holiday for Willis Carrier? I want a day in America where I don't have to go to work and I can sit at home in my AC and thank God for Willis Carrier. That's what I want. I'm telling you, every invention, everything that someone started, it started off with a problem where someone said, this is wrong. The world shouldn't be this way. But instead of just complaining about it, they brought something positive to the table. And that's what Paul is trying to get us to do. Having wrongs in the world does not mean as a Christian you just ignore them. It means you do something positive about it. If you want to change the world, you got to bring something different than offense. I love the quote by Brant Hansen. He says, you can recognize injustice, stand up to it, even sacrifice your life fighting it, and you can do it without anger. In fact, you'll do it better. You won't be remembered as angry, but as convicted of what's right and loving to the very end. This kind of love leaves an impression on one's enemies that anger simply never will. If you want to change the world, you got to do it different than the world. We cannot make a difference if we're not different. We can't. We can't demand that the world follows our Savior and then act like everyone in the world acts. If you want to change the world, you've got to start by changing yourself. Jesus believed this. He's not the only one, though, that believed this. Dr. Martin Luther King believed with his whole heart that the teachings of Scripture and the teachings of Jesus was the way to change the world. Dr. Martin Luther King famously said, I've decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. if anyone had reason to get offended, it was Dr. Martin Luther King. In fact, he often did get offended. At one point, when sitting in a Birmingham jail, he was offended because the white pastors weren't willing to do anything about the injustice in the world. And he didn't yell and scream. He simply wrote them a letter to show them the injustice and to encourage them to get into the battle lines and to make a difference. Here's what Martin Luther King was convinced of. If he was going to change the world, he couldn't bring the same hate that he kept receiving. When the world hated him, he wanted to bring love. When the world pushed him, he wanted to bring peace. In fact, at one point when there was a bomb attempt on his house, he stood on his porch as there was a crowd who was gathered and ready to riot. And he simply dismissed the crowd and said, "This isn't the way that we're going to change the world." Can you even imagine if someone tried to destroy your house and your family? Can you even imagine how you would respond? But today in America, we've got a long way to go, but we cannot deny that Dr. Martin Luther King's teachings and life changed the way America is. And it changed it because he was committed to believing that the way that Jesus teaches us is actually the way to change the world. His daughter, Bernice King, said this about his famous quote, "If you internalize anger and you don't find a channel, it can destroy you. That's why when Daddy reiterated, 'Hate is too great a burden to bear,' he knew it was corrosive and erosive." The reason that we can't bring hate is because it just consumes us. It consumes us. It bothers us. In fact, from Dr. King's standpoint, anger is a part of a process that includes anger, forgiveness, redemption, and love. Because if you only have anger, the anger will paralyze you. You cannot do anything constructive. When we are offended, we don't do anything constructive. We don't make a difference. We just stew in our offense. And Paul's not saying, hey, if there's some offense in the world, just turn a blind eye, don't do anything. He's saying, no, do something. Do something productive. Change the world. It takes us back to our big idea. We'll never make a difference unless we are different. Never. Look at what Paul says to close this. He says in Titus 3:14, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. We must learn this. Why? Because it's not natural to learn to do what's good. It's not natural. You know what's natural? Getting offended. You know how I know it's natural? Because I have kids. No one's ever taught them how to get offended. They get offended by everything. You left me out. That's not fair. She's mean. That's natural. At some point, someone's got to stand up in America and be the adult. At some point, we got to stand up and say, everyone being offended isn't changing anything. Yelling and screaming isn't changing anything. What if we actually put these words to practice and we said, I'm going to practice doing what is good? Why? Look at what he says. In order to provide for the urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. What's unproductive is spending your life feeling exhausted but not actually changing the world. When we are offended, it exhausts us. It wears us out. In fact, it causes us not to have any energy to actually make a difference. But what if we let go of offense? I'm convinced if we let go of offense, we'd feel energized. And we'd actually have the energy to make a difference in the world. And I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of my life, I don't want to say, you know what? I ran on a treadmill of offense and I got nowhere. I want to be able to say I exhausted my life with purpose and I made a difference, that the world is a better place because Jesus changed my life. Today's win, it's what we do with all this. Identify one area of offense in your life. And how can you do what is good to this offense? Please hear me on this. This is not a series about being passive. It's not a series about not addressing the wrongs in our world. There's a lot of wrongs, and we need Christians to make it right. It's not about turning a blind eye. It's about addressing what's wrong and what can I do to bring good to it. So what's an issue in your world? What's something that constantly bothers you? Would you go to God and say, God, how do you want me to change this? Do you want me to invent something? Do you want me to start something? Do you want me simply to pray? God, what good do you want me to bring out of this offense? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you right now. And we just ask you'd help us to take this to heart. That God, we would be changed from the inside out. Start with us, God. Change our hearts. Allow us to receive your kindness. It is your kindness that leads to repentance. So change us from the inside out. We give you our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.